The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Breaking news that we have been following out of the Middle East. The Hezbollah terror group now confirming its longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah, is dead.
As long as Hezbollah chooses the path of war, Israel has no choice and Israel has every right to remove this threat and return our citizens to their homes safely. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Hezbollah confirmed on Saturday that its leader, Hassan Nasrallah, had been killed. His death marks a devastating blow to the Lebanese militant group as it reels from an escalating campaign of Israeli attacks. And to Iran, given the major role Nasrallah played in the Tehran-backed regional axis of resistance. Nasrallah was eliminated in a targeted strike on Friday on the group's underground headquarters beneath a residential building in Dahir, the Hezbollah-controlled southern suburbs of Beirut. It said he was killed along with another top Hezbollah commander, Ali Karaki, and other commanders. The bombing shook Beirut. A security source in Lebanon said the quick succession of massive blasts left a crater at least 65 feet deep.
Days after the massive Israeli strike that killed Hassan Nasrallah, smoke still rises from the rubble of Hezbollah's headquarters in southern Beirut. A fitting image for what Israel has done to the militant group's top command. Today, Hezbollah confirmed the death of Nabil Kaouk, deputy head of its central council. The seventh top official Israel is killed in a little more than a week.
כמה זה נכון. אנחנו נחושים להמשיך להכות באויבינו, להשיב לבתיהם את תושבינו, ולהחזיר את כל חטופינו.
Some earth-shaking developments, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We'll get to that and much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning, or afternoon or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. And when you listen to this show, you can view the program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Over the weekend, we passed 8,000 followers on the Rumble channel, so it's nice to see that continue to grow. This is one of those days where we had actually three options for the cold open. Nasrallah, this mass murderer, I mean, Hezbollah decapitated, basically. They, like Richard Palmer pointed out in the morning brief, they appoint the successor to Nasrallah, who is killed in an airstrike, and then he's taken out, the second guy. And this is all happening. You heard about the walkie-talkies and the pagers. The leadership of Hezbollah has been decimated, and it's happened just in the past few weeks. And if you know about Bible prophecy and how Lebanon is going to swing more in the direction of Europe and away from Iran, this is huge. I'll give you some quotes from my father here in just a bit that just convey how significant these developments are. Benjamin Netanyahu, in many ways, is going alone. He's going it alone. He's not going to be slowed down by Joe Obama or anyone for that matter. But then you put that together with Friday afternoon, after the show, after our last show of the week, you see these reports coming from ICE, the border security people, the director over the organization. And he's saying, yes, Joe Obama has allowed 13,000 murderers and 16,000 rapists to just come right into the country. I see all of this and I think, and of course, it's only reported at Fox News. I think, well, there's the lead for the program on Monday. That's what I thought Friday. Then Nasrallah's taken out the next day. And then, oh, by the way, over the weekend, you've got this massive amount of flooding in Georgia and North Carolina. Over 100 people and probably a lot more before this is over. And where's the coverage? Where's Joe Biden? Oh, he's at the beach. Where's Kamala? She's the current vice president, right? She's campaigning in San Francisco. Where's FEMA? Where's the news coverage? You've got entire communities that are underwater in North Carolina. As I say, you could lead with any one of these three. I didn't have a lot of time this morning because I had a class as well, but out of curiosity, I had to watch the first 5 minutes of the morning meltdown. And guess what we were treated to? We had clips of Saturday Night Live, because, you know, that's hilarious. It's supposed to be anyway. You've got SNL clips. Then you've got Donald Trump. That's right. Donald Trump, he said something about Kamala being mentally impaired. So that's the headline. That's what gets the coverage. And then they roll the tape and they've got all the clips from the campaign speeches of Donald Trump. You know, the speeches that they can't play in their entirety. They've got to show you, though, that, look, he's still an election denier. Look, he's spreading crime statistics that are, well, it's misinformation. These people have lost their minds. Here again, you just think about, well, we can let Trump speak for himself later. I think I've got the clip that we can cue up. Let me just, before I get into the seriousness of the times that we're in, let me give you 1 minute of the regime media saying what's important to them. I mean, this is breaking news in their minds. Never mind Lebanon. Now, maybe they went on to cover it. It's a 3-hour show. I'm sure they did. But what does it say about these people leading with this nonsense, this craziness? A statement by Donald Trump that's of greater significance than Hezbollah being decapitated or Georgia and North Carolina being underwater? This is clip 15.
Former President Donald Trump spent the weekend campaigning in several key battleground states and used extreme and dark rhetoric to attack his opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris.
He really is.
Double down, if it's possible.
Well, I think it's a meltdown.
Democrats, because Donald Trump has made a calculation that his base likes the dark fear, that they like carnage. He is calculating that he can make Americans afraid of migrants, because that's what he thinks about the American people. Donald Trump, I think, is melting down in front of our eyes. He has gone into a very, very dark place.
It requires no particularly sophisticated or subtle decoding to see what kind of the common through line in of all these speeches, which is they are just extraordinarily racist.
Mm-hmm. Who just seems to hide over and over again in his dark comfort zone of nasty and racist attacks.
I think character is very important. And so I'm voting for character. I'm voting for Kamala Harris.
There you go. Darkness, carnage, Donald Trump. They're just all synonymous. Meanwhile, there's people living in darkness, in carnage, in North Carolina, in Lebanon. Actual darkness and carnage. And these people, they're so deranged, deceived. Where are they in the case of the flooding? I mean, we've had other natural disasters, so-called, I should say. We've got a booklet on that, by the way. But we've had other disasters where it's been wall-to-wall coverage. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Hurricane Katrina when, you know, if George Bush was in office, I mean, we've got to tell you everything that Bush did wrong. Everything that FEMA did wrong. And now, I mean, it's just, it's silence, I guess. Listen to the fake president in this exchange with a reporter. This is clip one.
Do you have any words for the victims of this case?
Yes, it's tragic. As a matter of fact, we're trying to get the exact number. My FEMA advisor is on the ground in Florida right now. There's a distinction between the numbers that FEMA's used and the ones that are used by by the locals. So it really is amazing. You saw the photographs. It's stunning.
It's unbelievable. It really is. So many, such a wide area.
And we've given them all everything that we have. We're on the ground ahead of time. So we're working hard.
Are there any more resources the federal government could be giving them?
No.
Wow. Any more resources maybe the government should get? He doesn't even know the final tally of everything. He's talking about how the numbers are different between FEMA and the locals. And then, well, are there more? We're only 3 days removed from that. We didn't even know the seriousness of it Friday. And then the images start to come out. Saturday, Sunday. We'll play the montage for you later. But there he is, the fake president. I mean, then the regime media takes their cue from him, from the dear leader above him, the puppet master. Yeah, these are red states. So, you know, we're not quite as concerned. How about Hurricane Sandy? Remember, that rolled through the Northeast. And I mean, that's not near as serious as this one. Just comparing the two. But I guess if it gets near the coastal elites, then we'll give it the coverage it deserves. Then we'll show you. I mean, Obama cared. Obama had so much compassion. Wait until we get the final death toll on this, because it's probably going to be north of 100 people in just one storm. Just coming back to, I read through these couple of verses this morning in class. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Let him become a child that doesn't know anything. Become a fool. Let's just use the language that's there in the King James so that I can teach you. If ever there's a time to look to God and to ask for understanding. What does this mean? I mean, today would be a pretty good day. You've got a major conflict in the Middle East. You've got massive flooding in the Southeast. And you've got the murderers and the rapists just pouring into America. I've got to say it. Just like Donald Trump said in 2015, after he came down the escalator, they're not sending their best. They're sending murderers. They're sending criminals. They're sending rapists. And now he's been proven yet again to be right. Where's the humility among the ruling class, the elites, the talking heads? Become a fool, God says, and I'll give you wisdom and understanding. Verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness." The wise of this world, God sees them as fools. It says it in Psalm 14. It's just foolishness. I mean, I was telling the students this morning, it makes you so grateful to receive a steady diet of God's truth like they're getting in these classes at God's College. Just delving into you know what this world needs? It's God's truth. I mean, even to zoom in on this hurricane and to talk about, funding and resources. I mean, yeah, that's needed too. But how about, why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? Why are we seeing wars break out all over the world? The world is burning. And you've got the regime media out front telling you what you need to focus on at this time. No wonder so many people are just groping in the dark, just walking in blindness, still in a state of Laodicean lukewarmness. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about here. God reveals his truth to babes. Matthew 11, verse 25. He reveals his truth to those who understand that apart from God, we're just fools. We're just foolish. All that we can get excited about is a little bit of wisdom of this world. And well, here's God's assessment of that. Verse 20 says, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Paul is quoting from the Psalms. God knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows what motivates the hearts of men, vanity and pride. Boy, we've never seen so much pride on display. Nothing. You know, every year at the Feast of Trumpets time, I think about some of these prophecies in Revelation, the book of Revelation, and what God has to do to humble us. And you read through some of those images described in Revelation, and you think, can mankind really be that hard-headed and stubborn? Well, yes, he can. Just look at the way we're confronting problems today by just sweeping them under the rug. In what era of American history or world history has any nation invited in 600,000 criminals and just gone on like, well, that's perfectly normal? And to even bring it up, you're racist. Oh, okay. Trump's in a very dark place. Trump loves carnage. Trump's a racist. Now, the ones who love carnage are the ones inviting it into the country. The ones that won't secure the border. The ones that are letting the murderers and the rapists just roam. Verse 21, it says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world. They were getting caught up in division and strife, the brethren of God. And Paul said, look, we're just all God's servants. The idea here is to get self out of the way so that God can not only show us everything, but give us everything too. All things are yours. God wants to give us everything. Every good thing comes from God. Pretty soon, the world's going to understand this. Right now, they're cut off. Right now, we get excited about a little foolishness here and there. But God is about to teach the whole world his way of life. It says here, life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Every good thing originates in God. That's why we want to be close to God. Because if we're close to this world, well, this world is dying. You can see it. You see it in all the montages we've prepared for today. Hopefully I'll have time to show them. The world is dying. The world is on life support. God, however, is alive. And now is the time to draw near to God. Lee Smith has a great article in the New York Post about the war, the Israel-Hezbollah war. And he just says outright, you know, look, this is how you win wars. You have to kill the enemy. Isn't it amazing? The elites in the Western media, well, we'll just pick on the ones here in the United States. They look at Nasrallah, and you see it in the headlines. They have sympathy for the terrorists. They did it with Soleimani. Now they're doing it with Nasrallah. That's assassination, say the people who really are supportive of an assassination here in the United States. How about that? They might give it one day of token coverage. If Trump got assassinated on a Sunday, they'd look mournful and downcast for about a day. And then they'd go to the cocktail parties that night and celebrate. We finally got rid of him. Or as the Biden official said last week, he's finally been eliminated. Well, in the case of Israel's war, there's a war going on here in the United States, as our cover last January noted. But in the case of Israel's war with Hezbollah, I mean, that's been going on for decades. And Hezbollah just keeps lobbing missiles into Israel. Well, after October 7, and continuing to come under a barrage of missile attacks, Bibi and the rest of Israel. He's got support. Never mind what the regime says. They've had enough. So they've taken out the leadership of Hamas. They've taken out the leadership of now Hezbollah. Smith says here, Friday evening in the Levant, Israel targeted buildings in the southern suburbs of Beirut, killing Hezbollah General Secretary Hassan Nasrallah. This operation represents a dramatic shift in Israeli strategy. Not only have they finally liquidated an adversary they've long been capable of killing, they've also turned a deaf ear to their superpower patron of more than half a century. So you can see Israel beginning to sever ties with America, or at least on these points, and move together with the heart of Europe. That's prophesied too, just as it's prophesied for Lebanon to peel away from Iranian influence. Pretty amazing. This is electrifying stuff. Let me just fast forward to Richard Palmer's trumpet brief. If you haven't subscribed, go to our website. Figure out, I'm not even sure where to go on the website, but figure out how to subscribe to these free trumpet blasts. Come to your email box every single day, every single morning. Mr. Palmer writes, Israel has destroyed the entire leadership of Hezbollah, including its head, Hassan Nasrallah. In my opinion, Nasrallah's death is bigger than that of Osama bin Laden, as he was still in post, actively leading his armed and dangerous terrorist group. It says Hassan Yassin was chosen as Nasrallah's successor, only to be killed shortly afterward. I mean, Israel's not messing around. And even the sophisticated technology to somehow load these devices, these pagers with explosives, and then they all go off at once. Hezbollah's got no leadership. I mean, there are those saying, and they may be right, saying there's going to be full-scale war and Iran's going to get involved. Iran's issuing threats, but as you saw in that cold open, Bibi says it outright. I mean, it was in Hebrew, but we had the subtitles. He says, if you strike us, we're striking you back hard. And that's what Israel's doing. We're coming up on the anniversary of October 7. The West may have forgotten. Israel has not forgotten. And now you see all these prophecies, these prophetic events, they're lining up perfectly, just as God said thousands of years ago. I mean, fulfilled prophecy is one of the greatest proofs of the fact that God rules, even in the affairs of men, even in a world where we're cut off from God in so many ways. God still makes his presence known. God exists. He is all powerful. He can declare the end from the beginning. Just read Isaiah 45 and 46 as well. It's pretty inspiring. It's obviously you mourn for the suffering in this world. Bombs just going off all over Beirut. The Lebanese people, the ones who aren't Hezbollah, they're fed up with Hezbollah as well. They want to kick them out. Mr. Palmer says leftist news outlets haven't covered themselves in glory. The New York Times called Nasrallah a gifted orator, beloved among many Shiite Muslims. A gifted orator? That's a nicer headline or comment on Nasrallah than they've probably ever had on Donald Trump. That's 1 Corinthians 3, right? Think about how different this nation would be if the regime media were actual patriots. That report from the ICE director on Friday, it's disqualifying. Kamala Harris's campaign would be over right now. If the media was doing its job, they would say, hey, you've invited 13,000 murders. And Gutfeld's right. I mean, that's coming from the ICE director. So I would assume it's pretty accurate. But even if it isn't, I mean, how much is okay? 7,000, 8,000 murderers? Just so, yeah, just let them roam the country. You give them the cash card and they're not going to murder again. That's really and truly the way a lot of these people think about solving the problems of this world. So totally different from the way God's going to deal with it in the world tomorrow. It starts with re-education, but it also starts with administering God's government and punishment where necessary to get our attention, to humble us, to make ourselves fools in our own eyes, so that God can then teach us, so that God can then show us. The AP hailed Nasrallah as charismatic and shrewd. That was actually in a headline. When have they ever said that Donald Trump is charismatic and shrewd? No, he's Hitler. He's Hitler. And now if he comes out and says that Kamala is mentally impaired, we're going to spend a whole week of news on that comment. Because look, we can compare anybody to Hitler, but don't you dare criticize our cherished candidate. The New York Times editorial board, not that it was a surprise, they come out with their endorsement of Kamala because she's the only patriot. It's laugh out loud nonsense. It's foolishness. She's the only patriot, says the New York Times board, the editorial board. The one that let in 16,000 rapists. The one that doesn't so much care about a devastating hurricane. A lot of times the news from those hurricanes is kind of slow rolling just because you don't understand the devastation right when it hits. Not until the flooding happens. Well, the flooding's happening and the fake president, he's there to assure you that there's no more resources. Secret Service, they let the President of the United States nearly get assassinated twice. And what do they tell us? We're just short on resources. They've got money galore for all of their pet agendas, but not so much for the North Carolinians. Not so much, certainly not for Donald Trump. This world is burning. And you turn on Morning Joe and what do you get? You get propaganda. You get some levity. You get jokes. You get Saturday Night Live. Quite a few clips, in fact. Play this from my father's sermon. This is a message he gave April 6th, 2024. So this year, clip 7.
I'm sure it was Bibi Netanyahu that ordered the strike against an Iranian general in Damascus this week, past week. And I just, that's something he would do, and I don't think any other leaders there in Israel would do that the way he did. But he is a warrior, and I think his own people don't realize how important he is, and perhaps the only man that could do what needs to be done in Judah. His popularity has been much worse in this war. It is a difficult war, and one of the most violent ones by the Hamas there ever has been. And he's probably the only man that would deal with this problem. And I mean, he has the whole world against him, most of his own people. And still, he's very aggressive in his warfare. And we just hope that he'll continue that.
He's showing some courage, Netanyahu. And my father brought him up in that sermon from April because he is encouraging us as true Christians to bring more war thinking into our minds, to be fighters for God, not in the physical sense, but to defend the truth, to promote the truth, and to live according to the truth, God's ways, God's teachings, God's commandments, obedience, and faith. That's what we're going to stress and emphasize in the wonderful world tomorrow when we start teaching the whole world. Well, before all of that, repentance. Repentance, which means change, which means obedience, and faith. Faith toward Jesus Christ, faith in God, looking to God, understanding that apart from Him, we're nothing. We're nothing. When you see a courageous leader in this world going up against the whole world in a lot of ways, it is something to take note of and even appreciate. War is horrific. Nobody's promoting, you know, nation, fighting against nation, but it is prophesied. It is prophesied. And what happens? What would happen to little Israel if they did what Barack Obama wanted them to do? Well, there'd be another October 7. But you've got Bibi saying to Iran, to the mullahs, look, we took him out in Damascus. We took out Nasrallah. We've known where he's been for decades. We could have taken him out before. I mean, it just shows you what kind of courageous leadership can accomplish. They took him out. A mass murderer. He didn't know God's truth. I mean, he'll have an opportunity to learn the truth when he's brought up in the second resurrection. God is such a wonderful creator and maker. I mean, he's laid out this plan, this purpose, and we see evidence of his involvement over and over again. But man has been so hard-hearted, so stubborn, so full of pride and vanity that we don't want God involved. We want God to mind his own business. I gave you that verse last week that it says in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't want him. We don't want salvation. I'm just talking about human nature. It's deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. And the only way to heal that is Christ in you, as Paul wrote. Lee Smith says, not only have they finally liquidated an adversary they've long been capable of killing, they've also turned a deaf ear to their superpower patron of more than a half century. But at this stage, heeding Washington's advice in war is like taking counsel from the angel of death. This is Lee Smith. Just as the U.S. is no longer willing or able to win the wars it commits Americans to fight, the Joe Biden administration won't let U.S. allies win wars either. That's the dear leader, Barack Obama. He doesn't want Israel to win wars. He wants Hezbollah to win. He wants Hamas to win. He wants Iran to win. He was negotiating with Iran before he even came into office in 2009. Back channel negotiations. Lee Smith exposed that. And another time in America's history, I mean, Obama would be in prison because of this. But no, instead they're trying to murder Donald Trump. Kamala Harris is the only patriot in this race. Boy, the lies and the deception and the hatred for America right within our own borders. There's a lot of self-hate in Israel too, particularly in the media over in Little Israel. It says here, by ordering the strike on Nasrallah while attending the UN General Assembly, he was in the States, Bibi was, when he signed off on it. Yeah, take him out. We've had enough. It says, Netanyahu underscored the Jewish state's independence from the global consensus that has resolved not to confront terrorists, but rather to appease them. You know, just like the murderers and the rapists coming across the border. Look, if we give them a cash card and free hotel, surely they won't commit more acts of murder and rape. That's the way these demented minds reason. That's why they're joking along with Saturday Night Live, right at the top of the news show. Here's the big news from the weekend. What? Cue Oprah. It says here, Israel's attack also shows that almost everything U.S. and other Western civilian and military leaders have believed about the Middle East for the last 20 years was simply a collection of excuses for losing wars. Further on, it says here, the Iranians armed Hezbollah with missiles in order to deter Israeli action against their nuclear facilities, which is to say that the Lebanese militia serves not only Iranian interests, but also those of the Obama faction. Here you go. The Biden team tried to stop Netanyahu from continuing his Hezbollah campaign by outlining how it intends to punish Israel in the period between the November election and the January inauguration with sanctions and other anti-Israel measures. But by telegraphing its intentions, the White House inadvertently incentivized Netanyahu to act quickly. Everything's backfiring for the dear leader. You've got this. I mean, look at the, what is it, number 14? It's the CNN report on the Latino vote swinging behind Donald Trump. Listen to this short piece.
We ask a basic question of Hispanic voters. Which party do you more identify with? 37% now say Republicans, 49% say Democrats. But again, look at how this has shifted in just the last dozen years. In 2012, this was a 41-point advantage for the Democrats. It has come all the way down to 12 points, Kristen, a 29-point drop in terms of that gap there on which party Hispanics identify with in just 12 years.
Here, the dear leader has opened the southern doors of the entire country. Latinos are pouring in, tens of millions. And the ones who are legal, the Latinos already here, they're swinging in favor of Trump. I mean, this is unheard of. Everything that they're doing is backfiring. Everything. You see it with their foreign policy. You see it now with I mean, everybody pays taxes in the United States. Where's the sense of loyalty and patriotism just to say, hey, let's go help the people of Georgia and North Carolina, even if these are red states that we might lose in the election? They're suffering. Some of the people are trapped. Hundreds have undoubtedly died. But no, go to the beach. Go to a fundraiser. And make sure Morning Joe knows that the talking points are the funny men, the late night shows, and of course, Donald Trump. Now, don't ever play an entire speech from Trump, because that's misinformation, but selectively choose the ones that you can really, criticize. You see how it works. Blinded by their derangement. It says here, the Obama faction of which Biden and Harris are a part is in Iran's corner. Moreover, only a fool could be blind to the fact that the Pentagon way of war, three decades into the 21st century and a world away from the United States' last conclusive victory, means death for all who pursue it. If Washington and the Europeans are appalled by Israel's campaign over the last 2 weeks, it's because the Israelis have resurfaced the ugly truth that no modish or modish theories of war, international organizations, or even American presidents could long obscure. Wars are won by killing the enemy. Above all, those who inspire their people to kill yours. Killing Nasrallah not only anchors Israel's victory in Lebanon, but establishes or reestablishes the old paradigm for any Western leaders who take seriously their duty to protect their countrymen and civilization. Kill your enemies. Kill them. And so Israel's doing that. America is not. America's inviting them in. America wants them here. America's leadership, they like the instability that all of these illegals overrunning towns, bringing with them violence, They're no longer able to hide it, are they? It's like Trump said over the weekend. This is, let me just first play this from John Ratcliffe. This is clip 13.
What is the significance of Israel's success in these last 2 weeks in taking down this leader, longtime leader of Hezbollah?
Yeah, and taking down Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, Israel has effectively not just degraded Hezbollah's operational capabilities, but really decimated it by taking out the entire Hezbollah leadership, literally the top dozen or so Hezbollah commanders. It's a blow not only to those organizations, those terror organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas, but a blow to their puppet master, Iran. Now, what Iran has really spent the last 44 years trying to do, Maria, is build a ring of terror, ring of fire around Israel. And in just the last 6 weeks, through these incredible intelligence and military successes, Israel has effectively blown that ring of fire apart. And, you know, in doing so, Maria, Israel hasn't just helped its own national security posture. It's helped that of the U.S., which begs the question, why is the U.S. not doing more?
Yeah, Israel's acting alone. That's Ratcliffe, who used to work for the Trump administration. Jared Kushner, he's been pretty quiet of late. He had a pretty lengthy statement following the Nasrallah killing. He says, September 27 is the most important day in the Middle East since the Abraham Accords breakthrough. I've spent countless hours studying Hezbollah, and there's not an expert on earth who thought that what Israel has done to decapitate and degrade them was possible. This is significant because Iran is now fully exposed. The reason why their nuclear facilities have not been destroyed despite weak air defense systems is because Hezbollah has been a loaded gun pointed at Israel. Iran spent the last 40 years building this capability as its deterrent. And suddenly, in a matter of days, weeks perhaps, the leadership of Hezbollah is decapitated. I mean, this gives us a little bit of insight into where the Trump administration would stand. I mean, you can know that just based upon his 4 years in office. But here's Jared Kushner. The entire leadership of Hezbollah destroyed. Let me read to you what my father said in 2020. This was at the trumpet. He said, Bible prophecy shows that Hezbollah will forfeit much of its power and that Iran will lose its grip over Lebanon. That was the trumpet's forecast 4 years ago. I mean, that's tomorrow's news today. That's what we're seeing. It ought to excite us and make us want to look to God. What does God think? Why did God say this? Why did God prophesy this? It says here, that nation will instead ally with Saudi Arabia and other moderate Arab states along with German-led Europe. Richard Palmer then says, before then, he forecast that Lebanon would become a linchpin for European ambitions in the Middle East. Well, looky there. Prophecy being fulfilled. I mean, you do see the darkness and the carnage. And we mourn for that, but we also see that it's coming to an end. We see the hand of God. We see prophecies being fulfilled. This montage of that ICE report on Friday, as I said, Friday afternoon, I was like 100% sure. This is what we'll lead today's show with. As it turns out, we're 10 minutes from ending. But here you go. Here's the breaking news from Friday afternoon, clip 18.
The Director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement confirms that more than 13,000 illegal immigrants convicted of murder have been caught at the border and then released into the United States.
ICE has something called a non-detained docket. Essentially what that is it means migrants who were encountered by DHS but are no longer in federal custody. So who's on this non-detained docket? It's illegal immigrants who were caught and released at the border, released with the court date years away. They're in immigration proceedings, combined with illegal immigrants who have already been ordered, deported from the country by a judge, but are still here roaming the country. So keep that in mind, this non-detained docket. According to a letter that the acting director of ICE just sent to Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez, on ICE's non-detained docket, they're currently tracking 425,000 non-citizens who have been convicted of a crime. Of that number, over 13,000 non-citizens have convictions for homicide and are on the non-detained docket, meaning they're roaming the country right now. On top of that, there are another 15,811 non-citizens convicted of sexual assault who are roaming the country right now on ICE's non-detained docket.
One of the most big, probably the biggest crime story I've ever seen. But if you're watching this, the media doesn't want you to know this information. They don't want it to reach you. They would rather you die or be raped than Trump be right or find out the truth. Now, even if these numbers are off by 50%, please, I think that the fact checkers should fact check it. You know, tell us, no, it's not 16,000 rapists. It's only 8,000. It's only 7,000 murders. Cool. I'm glad you're okay with that. I'm glad. I'll take your fact check. But anybody who defends this or says it's not that big a deal is complicit. You know, these were more offended by stories of cats being eaten than real stories reported here of actual rape and murder. Okay, they're actual people that are dying. This is a huge story. Where is it?
It's the biggest crime story ever in his mind. And yet, look at what they lead with on the morning meltdown. They're saying Donald Trump is melting down. No, no. That would be you every day melting down over something Trump says. And then the world is burning. Nothing typifies this better than the image of that MSNBC reporter in Minneapolis in the summer of love, standing in front of burning buildings, saying it's mostly peaceful. That's what we're seeing right now. Just using that as a metaphor. I mean, we're seeing it. The buildings are burning. And the regime is laughing. The regime is fiddling away. Listen to Kamala Harris saying what she's going to do now that she's been the border czar, but listen, this is new. This is fresh. We've got new policies here. And this is what she says about the border, clip two.
We should not permit scapegoating instead of solutions. And let's see what's happening. Let's not permit scapegoating instead of solutions or rhetoric instead of results. As your president, I will protect our nation's sovereignty, secure our border, and work to fix our broken system of immigration.
She's been the border czar for 3.5, almost 4 years now. And there she is talking about dangerous rhetoric and how that she's focused on results. The results were in those graphics we just played for you on Fox News. Fox News is the only one that covers it. Well, Newsmax, I'm sure, does as well. 13,000 murderers. Just let go. Free to roam. Same with the rapists. Those are results. Disastrous results. Because of Joe Obama. It's on purpose. This is a coordinated attack on America. America is under attack. We've been saying it. We've been saying it since the first version of America Under Attack came out. More than 10 years ago. And Donald Trump, in a lot of ways, has been saying it in his own way, listen to what he had to say over the weekend. I think this was in Wisconsin, clip 10.
Well, you got a lot of killers in our country. You saw that yesterday. Last night, after 4 straight years of obliterating our border, I watched this show that she put on. 4 years of the most incompetent border anywhere in the world in history. Kamala Harris traveled to the scene. In fact, she stood near where I put up border wall. That was her backdrop. And in one of the most heinous crimes ever committed by any administration in American history, that's what she did by allowing these millions of people, millions and millions of people, to come through our border and make our civilization very unsafe. It's a civilization. Very, very unsafe. It's a heritage. Border Czar Harris went to the border to lie in the most shameless and horrible way possible. At the very site where she released so much suffering, misery, and death. There's no greater act of disloyalty than to extinguish the sovereignty of your own nation right through your border. No matter what lies she tells, Kamala Harris can never be forgiven for her erasing our border, and she must never be allowed to become president of the United States.
That's Donald Trump from Saturday. She's responsible. And isn't it amazing, speaking of backfiring, you know, I may have touched on this already, but she goes down there for the photo op, even as this letter comes out from the ICE director to the congressman saying, this is what we know we've let in. 13,000, 16,000, 600,000 total criminals. This is, she walks in front of Donald Trump's border wall. God is, he's really rubbing their nose in it. Look at what you've done. And it's not like we didn't have, you know, insane policies, particularly with respect to immigration, before the fake president came along. It's been around for a long time. But here, Donald Trump is the one person who's willing to act courageously and do something and stop it. Stop the flow. It's like if you've got an injury and you're losing blood, the first thing you want to do is stop the bleeding. But there she is talking about rhetoric, just like Joe Scarborough does. They all think the same way. There's some mental instability to go around. Trump in his, I mean, it's a put down for sure. But he's right. There's so much mental instability in this world because of Satan the devil, who's been cast down to this earth and who's the prince of the power of the air. Vanity and pride is mental instability. That's of the devil. It's the way the devil thinks. So as I say, there's plenty of that to go around. Let me just see if I can squeeze in one more or two from Donald Trump. This is clip 11.
If a Republican did what she did, that Republican would be impeached and removed from office, and rightfully so, for high crimes and misdemeanors. That would be high crimes and misdemeanors. Think of it. 13,099 murderers, convicted of murder, not like convicted of murder. Some of the worst murders you've ever seen. They're all in our country now, every one of them. And I've been saying this for 3 years, and the fake news has been saying, well, you don't know that. Well, now we know it. They've never released a list like this. Not just on this. They've never done it. Over the years, they've never done it.
He's been proven right again. He said it from the beginning. He said it in 2015. This was the bit where he brought up the mental instability, clip 12.
And if you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country. Anybody would know this. And before I knew the numbers, I was saying it for a long time. They're coming in, they're murderers. I've said it so much.
And so Morning Meltdown takes that, what he said about Kamala's mental instability. And that's the headline. Probably will be for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 days. Not the 13,099 murderers. No, no. or the rapists or the hundreds of thousands of criminals we've invited in. It's something that Donald Trump said. I'll have to get to the hurricane and the montage we had prepared for that. As I said, we could have led off with three or four montages today, but that's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.